Welcome to Everyday Drinkers, episode number 22. This week, ice wine. We ask that you respect the laws, drink responsibly, and don't kill yourself or others. I'm your host, Derek Schomer. I have with me today Doug, Dave, Kate, my esteemed drinking colleagues, and we're going to be esteemedly drinking ice wine. Have you guys ever had ice wine?
Nope.
No. I asked somebody, hey, ice wine, ever hear of it? No. Nobody's ever heard of this stuff, but it's super awesome. So,
in perspective, the place that I got mine at, it has a ton of wine. They had exactly one ice wine.
Mine too.
Yeah. Mine has three, and I've had all of them. This will be the third. They're really hard. Where did you find them? Did you find them in this champagne section?
Dessert section. Dessert wine section.
Yeah, I guess mine were kind of there.
Ports and stuff for me.
Yeah, this was in the champagne. It was a dessert section, but they didn't say dessert. It just kind of was in the champagne sparkling wine area. In case you're looking and you go to your local, wherever you go to get beer, for us, it's the state. Go figure. That's the ones who liquor us up is the state. And, beer, wine, anything that will get you destroyed. And so it's a good thing. You guys got to try this. That's why I figured it was the best thing. I was really on the edge. Ice wine or boxed wine? I didn't know which way to go. But they're both completely opposite.
Boxed wine in the freezer.
Now, no, check this out. I found, I already have scoped out what I'm going to get for boxed wine when we do the boxed wine. I found some high-scale boxed wine. Nice. So I'm totally going to do that instead of the standard, whoever makes that regular boxed wine. Does anybody remember the one with the they only make like red and white and they have the same logo, but one of the glasses is red and one's white?
Reuniti.
Sounds Reuniti.
Jinx.
Must be. You guys got it right on.
And right about here is when you want to edit in that wonderful Reuniti ad music.
Reuniti on ice, Reuniti on ice, Reuniti, Reuniti.
Wow.
I believe one of the lines is Reuniti so nice.
Doug, Reuniti fail.
Reuniti on ice, Reuniti, yeah, so nice, Reuniti, Reuniti.
I thought you whatever. Knew what you were talking about.
I did, until I got corrected.
That is usually when you know. Yeah. Good job.
isn't that life, though?
It is.
The problem, though, so we have that little memory in our brain. So
right.
And we're wasting it. You know what I mean?
Wasting our brain?
But what I'm saying is we remember things like that, which is completely useless.
Well, you telling me memorizing the Constitution would be useful?
All right. Good point.
All right. There's very little useful information out there.
Yeah, but I know all the prepositions. Because of the preposition song.
At, about, above, below, between?
Yeah. About, above, across, after, against, along, amid, among, round, bat, around, back, before, behind, below, beneath, beside, beside, behind, beside, between, beyond, by, down, except, for, from, in, into, of, off, on, over, through, throughout, till. Have I mentioned that I've been drinking all day?
Why? That's all, wait, that's all prepositions?
Yeah, all prepositions. It's a preposition song.
Yeah, but see, I remember the German ones like aus, außer, bei, mit, von, seit, something, zu, bei, zu. See, I only know it in German because I don't memorize. I just know prepositions come natural to me in English because I know it. It just happens. That's what my daughter's like, Dad, I want to know Spanish. I'm like, why? Because English is easy. Like, you wait. Wait till you get into like the third grade and the fourth grade when you start understanding what a pronoun is, and you're going to wish you never said that. Anyway, this is not Grammar Podcast, believe it or not.
Okay.
He's still trying to figure it out. And so, I'm going to precede this by saying Doug has been drinking prior to the show since about 1, and it's like 10, so it's been a while. So we'll see how far he goes before you just hear that thum, and he's gone. So
never.
That might not be a problem because you're not drinking Orange Driver. This stuff is usually fairly low in alcohol percentage.
Yeah, I'm sure that's Doug. Why I have my backup, which is the Dogfish Head 90-minute IPA.
It's always nice that you know, just in case you don't get wrecked, you can find a way.
The other thing too is I don't think you can drink very much of this stuff.
Fuck no. I've had like 3 sips and I'm like, no.
Like diabetes in a bottle. It's just not.
No. No, I don't think so. So what do you have today, Doug? What are you drinking?
I am drinking Legends Estates Winery Ice Wine. VQA Niagara Peninsula Cabernet Franc.
And that's from Canada?
Canada.
It's cold up there.
Well, apparently because they can make ice wine.
Exactly.
So.
2006.
Cold enough to freeze the grapes on the vine.
Exactly. 10.8% alcohol by volume. That's, you know, you want
pretty
high.
For something like if you step outside and you're not wearing enough clothing?
Yeah, like, you know, cold enough to freeze the nipples right off the nerves.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
You know.
I know now.
If it happens to you.
Do you guys notice these bottles are sort of, remember the sake episode?
Yeah.
It's got the similar bottle design, I think, that like the smaller bottles, probably just as hard to drink, like quickly wise.
It's a weird size. It's 187 milliliters.
Yours is what?
Really?
187.
Really?
It's tiny.
Yeah. That's like a shot.
How much was that?
It was $18.
Oh, not bad.
Oh, that's, yeah.
That's like
187. That's a lot.
Well, yeah, but it's like a demo bottle. Yeah. It's like you can.
Well, I figured I wasn't sure if I'd like it or not, you know, so I didn't want to go crazy with size.
Right. Because size doesn't matter.
And normally I am a size queen, so.
Right. Exactly. There goes Doug laughing in his drink. So what I.
It was. That's
I know.
Funny.
I could tell. When you hear somebody sounding like there might be in a hollow cave or maybe PVC tubes, you know you're in deep. So I have a 2003 Valkenburg Madonna Ice Wein. It's like ice wine, but spelled in German. So I said vine. It's from the Worms am Rhein, the area. It's an area of Germany, the Rhine-Hessen. My bottle was $34.99. You could find it on the internet for anywhere from $35 to $40. It seemed $40 was about right, so maybe I got a bargain. And mine is made of the Riesling grapes, which is, if you know anything about wines in Germany, that's actually not that abnormal. But they have a lot of Riesling. What are you drinking there, Dave?
I have a product of my ancestors in Canada. There's a vineyard, whatever.
Yeah.
Jackson Triggs, which is, it looks like they're in a couple places, but this one happens to be from Niagara, and it's called Proprietor's Reserve Vidal Ice Wine.
Vidal. I think that's a wine varietal.
Yeah, IDAL.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's cool.
Yeah.
187 milliliters. Oof. 10.5% alcohol by volume. That's not too bad.
Yeah, and it comes in a cool cardboard tube.
Some of them did come like that, and mine didn't. Mine's only 9% alcohol, but my the one reserve I got a couple weeks ago was the It was a I don't remember what it was, but it was cool. It came with a little box. It was actually a tube. Is yours? Mine was a metal tube, I think.
Yeah, this is there's metal end caps, but the tube itself is just cardboard. It's sort of like a Pringles can, but without the chips.
Once you pop, you can't stop.
Really? That's odd.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe it was cardboard. Maybe I was just thinking, maybe the lid was metal.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so maybe I was thinking.
Definitely a cardboard tube.
And there I thought it was something you only do when you're drunk. I think mine was like a cold.
Actually, if I pop the other end out of it, I might be able to use it as a didgeridoo.
Nice.
That'd be awesome. Oh, yeah, my original one.
Nice.
I need to start drinking faster.
Because that would be funny. If you're listening to this show, you should already be at least two bottles in to think we're funny.
And then you're going to be like, yeah, man, I'm right with you.
All right, then.
If you're a regular listener, what the hell?
Yeah, what's your problem? My first wine was
almost spit up. God damn, that was hilarious.
A Semillion, that's what I had. My first one was a Canadian, or no, mine was Washington, my original one, the 2006 Covey Run Reserve. That was my first foray, yeah, whatever that is, into ice wine, which made me say we need to do this because it's so unique and different. And it had the word wine, and I thought Dave could do it because, you know, he's not a big wine drinker.
Right. Well done.
Right. Kate, what are you drinking or shall be drinking or finished?
I'm drinking Selax Premium Selection Ice Wine. It's 2006, and it's a white wine. Does this come in red as well?
There's very few reds, but they should exist, I think.
Okay.
I was going to say mine's like a rosé, but I'll talk about it later. Sorry.
That's okay. No, I was just wondering if it came in anything other than white. But this one's white. I'm not a big fan of white wine, so. And it's actually produced and bottled in New Zealand, which I thought was kind of cool.
New Zealand.
It's a snowy place. So, yeah, so mine's 10% alcohol by volume, which is much too low.
Not if you drink two times as much.
Yeah, but I can't drink that much of this. It's really sweet. And I have a sweet tooth, but not really for my drinks. So.
That's weird.
Do you have a backup?
Lots of sugar. Yeah, I have the Pinot Noir.
So, I have a...
I had a question.
Yeah. I have a question for you, then you can give a question for us. I just was thinking about this today because I had done some recordings of some cocktail shows last night, and I did one sweet and one in sour. What is your deal? Like, what do you think of cocktails? Like, if you're drinking a cocktail, like mixed two, three items together, do you usually go with something that's sweet or something that's sour?
Sour.
Okay, see, that's the weird thing. I like the sweet ones better, but like, really? I totally understand the sour.
I'm curious, though, is it seasonal for you, though? I mean, like, in the wintertime, you don't want a sweet drink, do you?
I can drink anything.
You don't care?
I'm really? Bi-seasonal. I'm not seasonal.
Okay. In the summertime, I'll have, like, a sweet margarita. Oh, no, actually.
No, I drink sour in the summertime.
Sour, yeah. No, I just don't like sweet stuff that much.
Huh.
But my question was on the residual sugars. Did your labels have... and I was interested in that. There was one, it said residual sugar 120 grams per liter and sugar at harvest 270. So I'm assuming that means whatever is left is the 120 grams, or
I think,
why
did
they even put that on the label?
Well, because because the sugar is where the alcohol comes from. So I think because these are lower percentage in alcohol, they stop the fermentation when there's still sugar left in the bottle. And that's how much sugar would be left. I just don't know the measurement. Like, it's a weird measurement. And I think it's some sort of status of the wine itself, like how much residual sugars are in there, for at least for this specific, maybe it's a dessert wine spec, because it doesn't give away anything by knowing that, I don't think.
Okay.
It's not like a nutrition fact.
Is the sweeter it is or something?
I don't really know about the sweetness intake. I've gone from $20 bottles to $50 bottles, and I found them all to be, it's like any other wine. They're sweet. They're all sweet, but they have sweet in their own specific way. Like the one I had last week, the other issue is we were going to record last week, and when I did get slightly too drunk to record, even though we had other people who could make it anyway, I had already opened the Hoplinger Ice Wine. It was a 2004 Austria wine. That was 12% alcohol by volume, and it was a Grüner Veltliner grape. And that one, it was a $50 bottle, and it was sweet, but it also had like a woody $50 cedar.
$50 bottle? Damn, you're throwing down some cash on the ice wine.
Yeah, I did the same, so.
Yeah, wow. Doug's his favorite.
Oh, I was just thinking, I mean, so Kate, you just said that yours is like 120-something residual sugar?
Yeah.
Mine's 228. I wonder if, does that actually mean that they taste different, or is it just a...
Well, yours is going to be a little sweeter.
Yeah, I think yours is going to be sweeter. They will taste different, because like this one does not have the same... My other one had like a cedar oak flavor to it. This one doesn't... this one has more apple. So... There's been a difference. But that was all I was going to say. There's been a difference.
Dave, does it tell you what the harvest... What the sugar at harvest is? Or just the residual?
Just the residual.
Oh, okay.
Mine doesn't say anything, and the website's down, so I'm fucked.
Anyway, so mine's 375 milliliters, which is twice as big as Dave's.
Yeah. Kate's as big as yours.
That's good.
Yeah,
well done.
Yeah, we're gonna $18.99, which is what Dave's was too, for half the size. So obviously mine's fine.
No, but you know what? If I couldn't find an $18.99.
Really?
They started at $24. Of course, we only had three to select from, 24, 34, and 50. So I've done all of them.
This was the only bottle in the store. Well, there were several bottles of it, but it was the only type in the store. And I kept asking the guy, I'm like, are you totally sure? He's like, yeah, ice wine just didn't take off. Nobody cares about it.
That's not really true. But we'll go through that after. It's been around since like before America.
I didn't even know there were vineyards in Canada.
But it's not popular.
No.
I mean,
no,
you don't know too many people. Like you were saying earlier, you asked like a bunch of people and people were like, I don't know what ice wine is. I mean, like it's not mainstream.
That dog in the freezer.
Right. It's not. No.
Man, don't
use
Boone's Farm.
Don't use your quotes. I have them in here. I put them in the notes because it was so damn funny. Well, right. Let me just start. This is now people are going, what the hell is an ice wine? This is the deal, okay? Now,
hey, Derek.
Hey, what's going on?
Derek.
What's up?
Hey, man.
How's it going?
Good. What's an ice wine?
How you doing? All right, so what is an ice wine? Well, it's something that, like we said, is fairly new to us and apparently to most people. But now I learned about this. I watched Wine Library TV. Gary Vaynerchuk at Wine Library TV has his little wine show. And one day over the holidays, he had covered ice wine. And his goal was, this is a good dessert wine. You got friends over for the holidays. You know, everybody's going to pop open the port or the champagne or these other dessert-style drinks, maybe ice cream, coffee. And there's these other options that I didn't even know existed. So I thought it would be cool if we do it, because we try everything. I mean, we've plowed through just Frangelico, right? Nothing gets in the way. There's no alcohol
nothing
that should be left
untried. Nothing prepares you for trying Frangelico.
Exactly. And if you go back to the whole liquor episode, you'll get our experience at Frangelico. It was fairly rough around the edges. So what I did is I bought a quote-unquote cheap bottle of ice wine at $24.99. This was when I first decided that I needed to do this. And then it just made me need to spread the miracle of this wine. First, it's a dessert wine, so it's much like port. We covered port. Port is a Portugal fortified wine. This isn't fortified per se, but it's completely unique. So it's going to be more costly, and I think realistically it's more costly than the average port. Like, you can get port going up to $250, right? But nobody here is going to buy a $250 bottle of port, I don't think. Unless you guys are much more into port than I am.
No.
No, probably not. But the thing is, this is a rare wine. I think that's probably what he means by it hasn't really taken off, per se. It's because it requires certain environmental conditions to grow. A vineyard that grows the grape has to have an intense frost, enough to freeze the waters in the grape prior to picking them off the vine. Not exactly something everybody can do in all the regions, which is why Canada is pretty big. It's one of the biggest, if not the biggest, supplier of ice wine. Washington.
It's cold. Yep. Cold in Canada.
Germany, Australia, and apparently New Zealand.
Yeah.
There's other areas that have to just have the ability to, like, basically flash freeze. So the deal is, this is what I think makes them so sweet, is that the frost freezes all the waters in the grape. And then these little vineyard folks, they all go out and they pick them off the vines, which is going to be fun. Can you imagine that?
One by one.
Like, pop them right off. Or something.
Yeah, they wait.
It's the worst day of their life every year.
It is. Come on. You want to go out there and pick grapes in the frost?
Picking, like, individually frozen grapes. Pluck.
Well, you're not going to cut the vine down.
Pluck. Drop. Yeah, that sounds tedious and horribly cold.
See?
Yeah, very cold, because you need gloves. Can you wear gloves? You're going to squeeze
the grape. I don't
know.
You're going to squeeze. And if you squeeze the grape, you made ice wine in the wrong place. And now you're like, oh, where do I catch this stuff? These grapes are squeezed while the waters are still frozen in the grapes. Thus, the result is you get pure sugar and grape concentrate, which I believe in the grapes is called the must. It's all left behind for fermentation. In the Northern Hemisphere, this occurs about right after New Year's, which we just had, so this is the perfect time. Happy New Year's, everybody. We've slacked because we didn't have a chance to do a podcast episode, so here we are. And
so you guys want to do champagne?
No, I did, but Doug was like fucking all over the place, but at home. So, I mean, it was like, like, literally, he was driving everywhere, so I wanted to do it, but, you know. In the Northern Hemisphere, this may occur about after New Year's, and it's
what happens, may occur about after New Year's.
Yes. Well, anyway. So, when we're really chilly, wait, how's this work? Oh, yeah. So, after New Year's, the grapes get really cold. They get really, really chilly. They freeze, and only the best grapes are going to survive through this time of this season, right? Because if you have grapes that get all the way to the season of where things can be frozen, all the bad grapes and all the ones that were rotting and all the ones with different types of rots and other things have either been picked or they've just gone bad. So anything that survives there becomes a candidate for ice wine. Thus, you have the problem. This is the deal. It's not going to catch on because they don't have enough supply to meet any type of demand. It's really, whenever you can pick these grapes, you pick them. That's a big issue. Otherwise, I mean, if you can only make so much, there's no way you can really market it to be a really top selling thing, you know?
Do you think it could be because it's way too expensive for dessert wine?
It depends, because it really wouldn't be that expensive if it wasn't so rare, right? If only your best grapes can make it, you can never make it cheap, can you? I don't know. Can you?
No, but I don't think it's so much that they can't make enough. It's that it's so expensive because there's a limited supply.
Which is a catch-22. You
drank yeah. too much of it, died of an insulin spike.
It's really sweet.
But it tastes like the grape. Which I guess makes sense. But if you can only get the best grapes, or only the healthiest grapes through that season. The other issue is, I don't know if this is true or not, but somebody had said when I was looking for different bottles of wine on the net that I think it was 2006 or 2007, Germany didn't produce any ice wine because the grapes didn't make it through the season.
Canada did, so in your face, bitches.
Well,
what?
Canada picked up where Germany might have fallen. So the problem is, if the grapes don't make it, then you end up with no ice wine. So next year you're going to raise the price. Yeah, he's still pissed off about the war. He's like,
when
Dave
Canada got invaded. I mean, that was just too much for me.
He's just upset because they didn't have enough. Because Canada didn't win World War II. Everyone else but Canada did.
Quick, throw the syrup into me.
So, how about we take a chance to take it? And somebody want to try their wine? I can pick somebody like me or Doug or Dave or Kate.
As opposed to who else?
You know, the audience. I could pull the audience. Oh, anybody? No, there's nobody out there that really cares. So who? All right, fine. Screw you guys are being too quiet. I'm going. This is my review. This is the mine is a nice. Mine's a white grape. It's gold, like I think white grapes should be. Pretty. It kind of looks like I've had some. The cheaper stuff was more pale, like
It looks like pee.
Doug pee. Yeah. This is more. This is gold. This is like a melted gold plated.
German ones always look like pee.
So you think this stuff's pretty sweet, huh?
Oh my god.
It's like, yeah, way too sweet.
Syrup.
It's kind of like drinking pucker, straight.
Really?
It's that sweet.
I guess it
mine
could
is,
be like that.
Mine is too.
Mine is really sweet, and it does have that little hint of carbonation that I detected with the pucker, even though I know it's not carbonated.
Right.
It's so sweet that it tastes like that.
Popping in your mouth. And if you roll it across the glass, too, it doesn't roll right down. It kind of hangs on the edge of the glass like syrup.
Pucker has legs.
Yeah, it does. This doesn't have legs. Well, it does if you give it about 5 seconds, it starts to crawl.
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
I know. I don't know. Mine tastes like apple. Mine tastes like a light grape apple blended juice. Like a little fruity. It's definitely sweet. There's no sour. There's no real tannic flavors to this.
You know what?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Kind of like an apple cider, except a little more syrupy.
Definitely syrupy.
See, and I completely agree with that assessment of the taste, but if you want to take it like to the esoteric, you can say it has hints of cherry, apricot,
peach,
spiciness
peach.
Of ginger, but it's like the spicy ginger. Like if it's a lot of ginger, but at the same time, when somebody says they taste pepper in a wine, yeah, you taste pepper in this.
So you actually doing this for real, or are you reading the back of the bottle and then kicking out?
No, I'm literally doing this for real.
All right,
cool.
I just want to make sure.
I'm not exactly going to tell you what I have in front of me right now as far as page, but it probably was not the podcast notes. But I just clicked off, so you know I'm paying attention again.
All right, there's a little peach in here.
I got the apricot out of
apricot.
All of the things that you said. Yeah,
yeah,
got,
like
I'm
dried apricot.
Yeah, dried apricot.
What's up with that?
Yes,
that's crazy.
I like it though. I do like that. I mean, if I try to, I guess just because I don't like white wine so much that when I sip it, all I can taste is sweet. But when I really try to get the flavors out of it, it actually tastes better when I try to taste like the apple and the apricot. I didn't get the ginger part, but definitely those other two.
Well, you might, and each wine's going to be a little different. So, like, for instance, I don't, the oaky cedar taste that I got from my $50 bottle is not, it's not here. And I think that the syrupiness is a product of the cheaper brands. Like, it gets.
Which I have.
Right. It gets less syrupy and a little more complex. I think the cheaper stuff is going to give you an idea of what it's like, and then the complexity and the structure goes up, and you'll get different flavors. But I think each one is going to be a little unique. Like, I'm not tasting any types of oak in this bottle, and it is half the price of the one I had last week.
Right.
But this is much more apple.
I definitely agree. It's like, if you know, different brandies can have different tastes to them and whatnot. But right. Mine is definitely on the lower end, and like you were describing, the color, it's not a pale golden color. It's more of a deep golden color, and that kind of tells me right off the bat it's going to be syrupy and a little bit more heavy than I would probably want it to be. But that's probably also because it's on the cheaper end of things.
And what type of grape is yours? Does it say select? It doesn't say, huh? Or is it
select?
Is some sort of synonym all for grape.
All it says is premium selected grapes were blended to create maximum sweetness and flavor intensity, which they did. Ideal with desserts and cheese boards.
I'm just picturing this big wooden board shaped like a piece of cheese, but I'm probably wrong.
See that. It would be good with a dessert. It would be good with, you know, cheesecake or some sort of dessert, or, you know, cheese and crackers or whatever.
When I looked up the tasting notes on, what year is yours, 2006?
Yeah.
Okay, I think I found it. Does it have like a like almost like a cross, but the bottom's red? Like it's like a black.
I think so. Yeah.
Hold on. You don't
I
have
the
bottle
right here. Yeah, I have it right here. Yeah, that's like a little red ribbon coming out of the blue. Yep.
Yeah, it says it's predominantly made from Riesling and Gewurztraminer, both of which I love. So you don't like white wine?
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't look it up online.
I just typed
usually
it.
Do.
I went to. Oh, it's on Wine Library. I wonder if this is being reviewed.
Did he like it?
Yeah. Well, he doesn't. Yeah, he liked it. I don't know if this is the specific one. Let me see if they don't. It just has tasting notes, but it doesn't actually have his review here. Unfortunately, it
I'm
just
almost
coming
done with
soon.
The bottle.
Yeah, it goes. Well, it can't be that bad. Well, I guess yours is a smaller bottle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not too hard.
And it's only 10% alcohol by volume.
Yeah, I think that's mine too. This is not. I mean, it's a dessert drink. It's really not something you're going to sit down and get hammered on unless you consider a sugar attack hammering, which it is.
Yep.
But and I'm not saying necessarily that this is going to be the best thing you're ever going to drink. Personally, for me, Riesling and Gewurztraminer are my favorite white wines, and I'm not a white wine drinker either. It's just those specific. I like the crispness of the Riesling and the spice of the Gewurztraminer. I don't like Chardonnays. I really don't like Zinfandel. They taste like Granny Smith apples to me. I think the reason I really wanted to try the ice wine was because it's so different. And I think it's just cool to be able to say, you know, if somebody in 5 years, like, oh, you ever try ice wine thinking you wouldn't, you could be like, oh yeah, I've had that. You know, it's just like one of those things that you can add to your repertoire of everyday drinking that you can say, oh, you've totally done that. It is a bit expensive, but it's like, it's the show. I'm still going to suggest anybody. I really don't think $24, $50, that might be me, because I started with the lowest and I was like, you know what, I can do this, and I bought the 50. But I've spent an enormous amount of money lately on wine, so I'm not too surprised. So as of 1991, you guys know that Canada has become the biggest region of ice wines because they have the perfect climate, Dave.
Hey, I told you.
Bitches don't know Canada like Dave. There are places like Germany, right? But they have a very high quality ice
wine. Hose, but you know.
But no. Yeah. But see, now Germany has a high quality ice wine, and it's been grown for hundreds of years there. So, you know, it was kind of a.
Yeah, Canadians got mad skills.
It was. But, you know, but they learned it from watching these crazy Germans. Because what they did is they didn't know what they were doing until they found these frozen grapes. And, you know, when a human's like, oh, frozen grapes, let's crush them, see what we can make, right? And so they did. Now, initially, I guess the wine, the thing they used to press the grapes, it doesn't like frozen grapes, so that was a problem. And I guess even still today, if you let the grapes get too cold, you'll just break all your hardware. So that's another reason they only have a certain temperature, because you don't want to bust all your shit. So besides that, they kind of tripped on this and said, oh wow, this is really a good idea. And then I guess the Canadians probably adopted it because they're followers. So Germany labels their bottles, see, I didn't leave any space for Dave to comment. Germany labels their bottles with ice wine, EISWEIN, which is different than, I don't know, Canada. I believe Canada does all one ice wine, all one word. That kind of is their dictation. So everybody's got their own. It's sort of like champagne, right? Champagne can only be champagne if it's from France or it was grandfathered in because everybody thought it would be cool to name their bubblies champagne when they should be sparkling wines, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Just making sure you're still there.
Oh, yeah, totally. Like the whole time I was listening to you, I was like, wow.
Nah, you're just like focused. You zoomed in. Okay, well, just feed. I'm going to feed you some more. Germany?
I would say more zoned in than zoomed in.
Zoned in, zoomed in. Well, if it's a digital zoom. Anyway. So
I was just saying.
You were just saying. I heard you. Germany didn't really find a viable market.
Like the whole time.
Right, exactly. Germany didn't
Thanks.
Really... Yeah. Bastard.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So even the German ice wine did not find a commercially sellable product until about 1983. So realistically, it wasn't a real hit until the 80s, which isn't too long ago if you consider the length of time wine has existed. So I guess it's not, you know, back 100 years ago, you could have been making this, but you're not going to be able to make it to the where it could be commercially successful. Sort of like when we were talking about the sake, and they said, you know, Japan was able to make it commercially viable before anywhere else. Therefore, sake is sort of the Japanese rice wine. Even though other places can make it, they figured out how to produce it and ship it. And I think that's kind of where we got in the 80s with Germany, and now Canada falling on the bandwagon and taking over.
You know, I think they did the same thing with cars.
With Ford? When they figured out how to make them real fast? I mean, fast.
No,
on the assembly
line. With, you know, the Japanese being able to produce it and export it.
They were able to produce it, export it more efficiently than anybody
exactly.
else. And that's what
right.
really counts. And then you end up with all these screaming babies going, I'm going to have to fire everybody because I don't know how to make cars. And we're like, oh, yeah, we'll give you a couple billion. Whatever. It's just taxpayer money.
I was making a aren't the Japanese so industrious joke, and you just brought current events into it.
I dragged in the current events. I played the current event card on you, Doug. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Derek.
You've explored a lot of drinks today. What do you think of the ice wine? Like
actually, the whole spicy thing that I'm getting at the end of this is somewhat intriguing, but at the same time, I mean. It was 375 milliliters, so I'm probably going to finish this. But I'm going to end up finishing this bottle of ice wine, not just because I want to be drinking it, but just because I keep drinking it to figure out what the fuck it tastes like.
And yours is a little different because you have the red variety of grapes, so you're going to have...
Yeah, it has a ruby color to it. It's think of the color of a nice amber brandy. That's what it looks like. And it practically has the same kind of legs coming down the edge of the glass, which is, in my opinion, is hilarious because the alcohol content is so low. It's 10.8, but at the same time, it looks like it's like
liquor.
The consistency of liquor.
Yeah. Like a pucker? That one?
Yeah, sure.
Wow, thought you were falling. Like, damn it. Damn trap door. Keep telling him to get that out of there. Hey, should I take my AC out of the window? Shit.
I was one of those things like, I just failed my save throw versus trap door.
You fell right down.
Yeah, it sucked.
That's awesome. So do you have any, does it have any tannic? Like, is it got any bite to it or?
It has just odd fucking spicy thing going on at the very like the end of it.
The cracked pepper.
It tastes peppery. I will say it is the first wine derivative that I've ever had that actually tasted straight up peppery, like black pepper, like just fucking peppery.
I've been looking for one of those actually, not in an ice wine, but like in general, and I haven't found a really good one. I've got some ones that taste like bacon, but no peppery.
I actually had a bacon vodka one time.
Not exactly what I was thinking. I mean, that's just weird.
Yeah, it was at a barbecue joint. It was something they made in-house, and it was just wrong.
See,
sounds awful.
Okay, here's the deal. You can pair things with anything, right? Now, bacon, now your pairing has been limited to, like, breakfast food. Or cheese.
No, it's really good on burgers.
Okay, bacon burgers, true. You get a little barbecue sauce, you get a little burger. But the thing is...
Well played, Kate. well played.
When you're, this might be different for Kate because you drink more wine than most people. Like some people drink more beer. Not that doesn't sound really good. I mean, like in general, in ratio to like beer.
Yep.
Right?
Agreed.
You would go more wine than beer. So if you were to eat a burger, there's a higher probability that you would actually have a glass of wine.
Actually, not to be argumentative, but I would probably have a beer if I'm out having a burger.
Me too. But
okay.
If you were to say, you know, what would pair good with a burger? Vodka.
No.
All right. Vodka's not really high on my list.
We can agree that that would not be a good pairing.
Like a good red, like a meaty red wine or a Tempranillo, like a Spanish wine. That I can do because it's got the beefy smokiness to it.
But if I'm having steak, if I'm out for a steak dinner, I'm having red wine. I don't care. I don't care if it's like the hottest summer day. I'm having red wine with my steak.
That's cool. Because I would probably, I guess I would go with a margarita, I guess. But not because it pairs well. I just like margaritas. So what would you do with vodka-based, a bacon vodka? It's like...
That sounds so gross.
Who would it?
And
why
I
would
like
that
vodka,
fit in?
And I like bacon, but I don't want them together.
Right, because
it was not good.
You can't really.
Was it not good? You tried it? Yeah. You didn't just look at it and say, "Ooh, I wonder what that tastes like."
It's bacon floating in.
No, I think the bartender saw the look of absolute revulsion on my face and said, "No, try it. It's pretty good."
Try
and
it
just
bad.
Wasn't.
Fail.
No,
not good at all. You are wrong, sir. It was it like Goldschlager, but have like little bacon bits instead of gold.
You know. When he mentioned after I tried it, he's like, yeah, we have to kind of scrape the fat off the top of it when we make it. I was like, thanks for that.
Oh, good. Now I get a heart attack.
Did you have it plain? Did you have like a shot of it or something? Or did you have it mixed in something? Like, how could you mix that in
you
a
don't,
drink?
You,
apparently, it works pretty well if you do it with tomato juice.
Or eggs. So Bloody Mary with bacon.
Sort of like a Bloody Mary with bacon.
That sounds like nothing I ever want to have.
You know what? That actually doesn't sound that bad to me.
I don't like Bloody Marys. I don't like the concept of Bloody Marys. I don't like what they stand for.
Here's the thing. Here's my thing. Bloody Marys always sound like a great idea. They always sound like, hey, man, let's go get a fucking Bloody Mary. I'm like,
because
all right.
People are going to be saying it at like 10 in the morning.
Yeah, and I'm like, all right. So, you know, I inevitably order a Bloody Mary. I get three sips in. I'm like, this is the worst mistake I've ever made in my goddamn fucking life.
Anything that has Tabasco sauce is a no-no. That doesn't go in liquor.
I've actually only had Bloody Marys twice. One was at like some like wedding reception thing. But the first time I ever had a Bloody Mary, the night before we had been drinking like till 2 a.m. And then it was a golf tournament. Like we stayed overnight, like for the whole weekend. And so the night before we were drinking till like 2 or 3 a.m. And then someone knocks on my door at 7 a.m. Cause we had a 7:40 tea time. So we go, we golf, we're a mess. I feel horrible. People are drinking beer. I'm not drinking anything. We get back to the clubhouse and they're like, Kate, cause I'm like blue. They're like, Kate, try a Bloody Mary. I'm like, no, I'm not going to drink it ever again. And finally I acquiesced and I had the Bloody Mary and it was the best thing I ever tasted. It was so good.
You
and it
acquiesced.
Helped my hangover.
You acquiesced. Of course it helped your hangover.
I was going to say, did you just say acquiesce?
Yeah, that was awesome.
Oh.
Well done.
It's so hard to fit
my
that word
50
in.
My 50 cents to you is in the mail.
Yeah. You can't ship money in the mail, Doug.
Sure you can. You just tape it to a piece of paper and it works out.
And if I send you 50, you get a dollar.
It's good in the morning if you're hungover.
You know what?
All his bills cash. You can find him at.
You know what though? I morning for me. I'm not a big drinker in the morning. Like I've seen.
Me neither. Oh my god, I'm not either. But
not even a mimosa. If you're gonna put champagne and orange juice, fuck you. Just give me the orange juice. I'm thirsty. Last thing I need in the morning, right? I'm gonna down like a cup of orange juice. It takes me probably in the morning if I'm thirsty. I don't know, 7 seconds. I would be on the floor like wrecked.
I'm just trying to help like those people that are out there that maybe like every once in a while you go out and you drink too much. Everybody does it, right?
Of course.
And so then
unless
if you drink
absent.
Too
some
much
with regularity.
And then if you drink too much, right? And then you get like 4 hours of sleep and then you have to do 18 holes of golf and you feel like you're going to like throw up all over the place. What are you going to do?
Oh, I'll tell you what I did. I threw up all over the place.
I didn't throw up, but we went back to it was the best thing. It was absolutely there is something to the hair of the dog that bit you phrase that it actually makes sense, even though it doesn't sound like it should.
Well, no, it makes complete sense because you're hungover because your body wants alcohol. So it's like it's fucking you in the brain.
Give me more of that stuff.
Give me more of that stuff.
Happy last night.
Right. So if you give it to it, of course it's happy. Scientifically, you did the right thing. In some respect, your liver's like, dude, knock it off. But the rest of you's like, yeah, that was cool. Let's do some more of that. It's like heroin, right? I guess. So what I'm trying to say is I'm just not
so
a big.
I've heard.
I'm not a big morning drink. Like I've woken up in the morning and Doug walked into the room, like just out of bed, cracked open a Sam Adams, sat down, and watched cartoons, and I was like, dude, I can't do that. He's like, what? Yeah. I just not me. I said, orange juice. Christmas morning, everybody has mimosas. I have orange juice and coffee. That's my thing. I like my coffee and I like my orange juice and that's it. Maybe some apple juice.
I'm a big fan of the Beerios, huh?
I totally agree. I don't drink in the morning either.
No, it's just, and I don't, it's bad. You drink all night, you get hungover. I'd say you just suffer because, like, I understand.
I felt so much better after I had that.
The other thing you could do is you shake it off. This is what you do. You wake up, you go back to bed.
I tried to shake it off through 18 holes of golf.
Yeah. You pee out your butt, and then you might throw up a little. Right? And then you're like, oh my God, I'm so sick. Then you just pass out for a little while longer. By 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you're usually fine.
I didn't get sick at all. I almost wished I would. I just didn't feel good. But then once I had that, I felt great. Only other time I've ever drank in the morning is on my honeymoon because it was all inclusive at the Sandals Resort. So like you didn't stop drinking 24 hours.
Right. I mean, that's what you just do if you're on your honeymoon. And
so it's the same kind of thing.
Right. It's all free.
When it's all people. Free, your whole goal is you just never get sober. Then if you never get sober, you never get hurt.
Plus you're drinking Red Stripe beer. You're not going to get hurt on Red Stripe.
Right. You're not going to get hurt unless you get in a car.
Right.
They're driving the wrong side of the road.
You're on islands.
Right, right.
But anyway.
You should fall in the water. Anyway.
It's one of those islands where you can rent a moped.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is just fucking awesome.
And then
totally we rented everything we could possibly get our hands on.
Actually, I work with guys that do that, but it's different.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So.
Anyway, we were talking about bacon vodka.
Yeah, so let's not talk about that anymore. Because that's just gross. So, no bacon in your wine, Doug?
No.
No.
Thank you for asking that.
Hey, you know what? That's why I'm here.
Doug's going to pass.
What, Dave, mm-hmm. What's your assessment? I know you don't drink wine, but you probably drink white before you drink red, right?
Well, I don't really drink either. But, no, I would probably drink red or
well,
white.
Actually... They're both fucking awful. Anyway, I just fix that for you. Continue.
I thought he sounded snobby enough.
Right.
I don't really drink either.
Because this is for plebeians.
I leave this for the rest of you people.
Yes.
The thing is, it doesn't really taste like wine to me.
No.
And the reason is that this is maybe the sweetest beverage I've ever had of any kind. Like, even when, you know, your mom lets you make the Kool-Aid for the first time.
Oh, and you just put the powder in your mouth.
Yeah, it's just still sweeter.
And then you try to whistle. Yeah, that's true. It is fairly, it's concentrated sweetness. Like it.
Funny thing is, I really question, whenever I look at a review of something like a wine particularly, I always kind of question my taste buds. Like I have no idea what I'm actually tasting because this one says, where is it? Oh, this richly textured wine displays fresh tropical aromas. Now, mind you, this is from Canada.
Right.
Okay, fine. Of papaya, mango, and apricot.
Yes. Do you not get any of that?
No.
Oh.
I just get sweet, like cane sugar.
You're doing it wrong.
Apparently.
Your palate blows.
Yeah, it's really
get a new one.
No, I think yours does. I think we already established.
No, that was my whore mouth.
Oh, right.
Whore hole. Whore mouth.
Yeah,
whore
it's
hole.
Different.
I don't know. Same difference.
So, I mean, it's drinkable, but like I've had a couple of small glasses of it, and it's like that's quite enough. It's sort of like sitting down and eating a chocolate cake. Like I can't eat the whole cake. You know what I mean?
Right. For me, the seven. Now, this might besides the fact that it would cost you $100 for a $750. I don't really see the need for a 750 milliliter with this type of drink. It's really a dessert wine. Now, if you have a lot of people, then that's going to be a problem. But for me, like, my wife likes this stuff. Now, my wife doesn't really drink wine at all. Any kinds of wine, nothing. She'll have a, you know, a half a glass or a whatever you want to consider half a glass, like, enough. And she'll just sip it for, like, an hour while she's playing Warcraft, right? And she'll be fine. Now, I do the same thing, but the thing is, it's got that sweet but tasty, delectable, delicious flavor that I find myself, if the bottle is near me, just pouring just in a little more and then drinking, and then like I'll pour a little more. And then before you know it, there's no bottle left. So it's kind of got that addictive nature, I think. It is sticky.
Because I was just about to pour a little more, and then Dave was like, oh, I certainly wouldn't sit down and drink the whole bottle. So I put the bottle back down.
Listening to me, though.
Yeah, you know, you're listening to Dave. Yeah, he doesn't even know what an apricot smells like in right. tropical.
Right,
come on.
Right when Dave said that, I was like, oh, fuck, man.
Did he?
I have the tiniest little bit left in my bottle. Jesus Christ, I've been pouring too much. Fuck.
Doug, I took the bottle, and I put it in front of my screen to see that I only had like a tiny bit of a sip left, and I put it back down.
Yeah, did.
Seriously, what the hell are you guys listening to me for, though? I don't know shit about
anything. What's wrong with us, Doug?
I personally blame Dave right now. I mean, he was the one.
I can be the scapegoat if you want. That's fine. But
I drank the whole bottle last time. My first time when I was an ice wine virgin.
The fucking thing, though.
No. When I was an ice wine virgin, I did the same thing.
Dave, didn't you drink your whole bottle of, like, 350 milliliter bottle of Pucker last week?
No, I didn't drink the whole bottle. I drank about half of it. But yeah, I mean...
I could have sworn... We're going to consult the tape on that one.
Well, I'm pretty sure Believe it or not, this is sweeter than the Pucker.
It's a different sweet, though. The Pucker is different flavor. It's like artificial sweet.
Yeah. The Pucker is completely artificial. This has more of a... I keep using the word syrup, but what I mean by that is like something, take a really sweet wine and reduce it down for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. Which is what you got here.
Well, it's not, though. I mean.
Well, it's reduced because they ripped, the water's frozen, so all you have left is the core.
It is reduced, yeah.
There's no water.
I guess it's effectively what it is, just the natural process instead of boiling off the water.
Exactly.
Right.
And you wind up with a reduction and
it concentrates the sugars.
The thing for me is, I mean, the other reason why you shouldn't listen to me is that I'm not a big sweets person.
What do you go for? Sours?
Yeah, in general.
But, okay, so you like, cater on the
sour. You know, for desserts, I don't eat a lot of sugary stuff, that kind of thing.
Well, no, I was just, because since I've been doing these videos, I mean, we've made a ton of different recipes now. I think we have like, I don't know, 25 videos or some shit like that. And I've just been noticing... looking at the different ingredients going, okay, what is this really going to taste like? I can kind of guess from the ingredients now what it's going to be, but there's still surprises. Like the one I did last night was a carbonated piston slinger. And defining a recipe is almost impossible. I had to go like this book that talks about these old style drinks, and it looks like a pomegranate vodka martini style color to it, like very ruby. Oh my God, it was so sour.
And really?
But it's red. Because it has slow gin. It's got slow gin, 7-Up, and I think like it's another vodka. No, light rum, I think it was.
Isn't that a slow gin fizz?
Oh, no, sorry. Slow gin, 151, and 7-Up. So two shots of 151, three-quarter shot of lime, three-quarter shot of lime, three-quarter shot of slow gin, bam. And then you finish it with 7-Up on top. And it was just like you expected it to be so sweet and like delicious, but it turns out to be nothing like that. So it's like a surprise, and it's very springy. I guess that'd be the piston slinger part.
Yeah,
and
Go ahead.
I was just thinking, like, wow, there's, because my wife did not like it. I knew she wasn't gonna like it because she likes the sweet drinks, and I can go. I like the middle of the line, the sweet. I started like the sweet ones. I respect the sour ones, and some of them are tasty, but. I'm like, wow, people must really like these because people like lemon drops. And to me, lemon drop is as sour as it gets. And they're like, oh, yeah, I drink those things all the time, which tells me there's people who just dig sour, sour cocktails.
It sounded like Kate was, one of those people.
I find that slightly odd.
I like the whatever. Yeah, see, I always picture cocktails as very super sweet.
I was just thinking that I think I would enjoy this with. I mean, it's designed to be a post meal drink,
okay? Right?
But I think with a piece of cheese, it would be really, really good.
I have.
So you get the kind of savory, you know, aspect of the cheese along with
right
super sweet wine. I think that'd be pretty tasty.
Depending on the type of cheese, like I wouldn't use a Gouda, but maybe like maybe like a pepper jack or a cheddar.
Yeah, sharp cheddar, exactly.
Something that's got that sharpness to it and the acidity there, because it's acidic, but not the same way. It's so super sweet, you lose any of the acidic and you lose any of the alcohol taste. It's totally balanced at the front of the palate.
It's like pure grape, which makes sense because when you get those cheese boards, you have cheese and you usually have grapes and stuff like that on there too.
Right.
Right? You guys get those cheese boards, right?
No.
When you go out to dinner?
Yeah, and I usually get chicks with palm fronds waving.
Wait, hold on. Where the hell do you?
And they're like, "Oh my god!"
I'm totally kidding. I do not go to fritzy places.
What are you talking about? Where do you get this cheese board?
I don't do it.
I mean,
don't not Taco Bell.
I work there for 3 years.
I go to the movies. I freaking love.
Oh, I know. I worked there for a while.
Tacos, so. They're so good.
But they are.
I don't go to those fancy places, but I see them in movies and stuff like that. People get cheese boards and they have grapes and cheese on them. So.
You're totally rolling with this.
A lot of times.
Oh,
simple
cheese,
person.
Cheese platter. God, I was craving that.
Yeah.
I was totally craving that last night.
So going back to the ice wine, I do like it. It's just, it's super sweet. I can only have a little bit of it, but it's not bad.
I have a little bit at a time, but I have a lot of times, you know, like it. I only take a small sip, and then I let it sit for a little while. It's great for watching TV, though, because you don't have to, like, sit there with the glass in your hand. You could be like, oh, and I take another sip, and, you know, it keeps the sweetness going on, which can't be good for your teeth, but whatever, right? Everybody's going to die sometime.
It's like a liqueur.
Yeah, but you don't get as drunk. That's the thing is, you're with me, like, if you drink Pucker or Pucker Martinis or any of these crazy green drinks that I've been doing, it's like I want more, and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I'm so drunk. This, you can drink a little, and because it's concentrated, you could just keep going and never, you finish the whole bottle, you're going to be completely sober, maybe.
I don't know about completely, but yeah, I have very few sips left, and my bottle's gone, and I'm feeling okay. I mean, I'm feeling a little bit altered, but not much.
I like to feel
altered. Definitely get a sugar rush out of it.
Yeah, exactly. I was about to say.
But the alcohol brings you
more
back
hyper.
This is what I did. So I polled the crowd. I was asking a few people, you know, matter of factly, hey, have you ever tried ice wine? So I got many different odd responses. The first one I got, I was playing World of Warcraft. I sent a message across the guild chat. This is getting dorky, but bear with me. And I was like, hey, anybody try ice wine? And they're like, oh, is it new? And I was like, what type of question is that? Is it new? It's not like it's Red Dog. I mean, I'm like, no, you know, it's been around. I don't know. I guess it could be if you count new as like 23 AD. I mean, yeah, kind of new.
I bet he was thinking like Dave just said, you know, like beer became like whatever it was, Miller Ice or whatever, like an iced beer. And that was like a new thing for a little while.
Yeah.
Probably figured it was the same thing, but wine, like iced wine.
Which is, nothing like that, because I think it's the lager. You've got to keep it cold, right? But no, it's just like...
It's higher alcohol.
Yeah, in the cold also helped kill that alcohol taste, but you don't really get that in this anyway. So are you drinking yours cold? It's probably not cold anymore, but...
Yeah, I had mine in the fridge.
Mine's
cold.
I
had mine with my Rieslings and my wine fridge. Boy, does that sound bad. I have like almost 80 bottles of wine in my wine fridge. Isn't that sick? I just went out and bought 4 bottles of Tempranillo.
It's sick if you have the flu.
But I don't. So I'm fucking awesome. Yeah.
You just got a fever. A fever for wine.
Yeah. I think it needs more cowbell.
Ding, ding.
I got a fever. And it can only be cured by more cowbell.
That's great. That's unique. It's new. Anyway, I got this. So I sent out to the podcast crew, the people on the horn right now. I was like, hey, ice wine. Anybody want to do that? Anybody hear that? And so I think it was Doug who said, if you stick a bottle of Boone's in the freezer for an hour or so before the podcast, then you could do a podcast for under $4.
Exactly. Ice wine. cheap ice wine.
Cheap ice wine.
It beat the $50 I dropped on this shit.
Right. No, it really wouldn't beat it. No, I don't know if it would be the same.
No, thing. Seriously, I think it would be as cold and just as sweet.
Maybe. I don't know if it would be as sweet though. Maybe it could. Yeah, it could be. It wouldn't be as syrup or well, like thick. And then Dave, of course, with the does MD 2020 in an ice cube tray with toothpicks sticking out of it count. Now I was like, yeah, no, I don't think so. Good answer, but failure. Sorry, Dave. So anyway, the most expensive ice wines in Germany, with Canada following up right behind, because, you know, Canada, they come in second. And theirs has the ice wine all as one word. That's how you usually can tell if it's Canada. You can find alternatives in Australia, Austria, Croatia, Czech Republic, France, Hungary, Israel, Italy, Luxembourg, New Zealand, Slovakia, Slovenia. Wow, lots of slows. Sweden, and of course the United States. As usual, the standard of Germany is a little higher than elsewhere for the wine conditions, which is probably what helps raise its costs. I guess the real issue, at least for Germany, is that if the temperature outside doesn't hit 7 degrees or -7 Celsius, so I think that's 19 Fahrenheit, then it's not going to be good for picking. In Canada, it's -8 or 17 Fahrenheit, so not necessarily as cold. Things just changed on my screen, and I don't want to know what it was. before picking them. Because the temperatures come later on in the season, many times the grapes are ripe and waiting to be picked while the vineyards wait. If the temperature comes too close and the temperature drops down, and it just destroys the grapes, makes them impossible to press, and becomes the perfect temperature for ice wine. So you got to get the temperatures exactly right, or else you're either going to break your press, the wine grapes are going to freeze, go bad. They're not going to freeze in time, which means they then go bad because you can't do anything with them now once they've been frozen and unfrozen and all that crap. So you really have to hit that perfect peak of time. The problem is you don't hit the peak, price goes down, price goes up. Either way, you either get wine or you don't, and that raises the cost because there's less of it. So finally, they have ice box wines. These are not like box wines, because that's for a different episode.
Oh, no, they're like icebox wines.
No, basically an icebox wine is a wine that they basically take the grapes off the vine.
Then they stick it in a koozie.
Basically. Maybe not a koozie, but they do freeze them without using natural weathering. So it's kind of basically they use a machine to make ice wine. And it just doesn't, I don't know why, it's sort of like going against tradition, and in the wine industry, going against tradition pisses people off. Apparently, they've given them a name to make them sound not as good because they're artificially made. Personally, I don't really know the difference. Like, I haven't had an ice box wine, per se. And finally, we can wrap it up with the grapes. So, so there's different types of grapes that you're going to find in an ice wine. You may find ice wines made from, I don't know, Riesling, of course, like I have. I don't know who else has the Riesling. Or there's a blend.
Cabernet Franc.
Cabernet Franc.
And this shit is spicy.
It's spicy. It's Cabernet Franc. You know, that's some pretty good shit. I really wish I had a red one. Oh, well. Maybe I'll find a red ice wine.
I wish
someplace.
I had a red one, too.
I got to try
that. I mean, when you think about it, the concept of ice wine is pretty cool. I mean,
I know they're like the science behind it. I'd like to know, like, you're just sitting out there like, hey, there's a grape. Wow, he's kind of frozen. I wonder what we could do with that. Squirt it out. And I mean, there's science behind it, but I don't know if that's how it started. It probably started like, oh, let's just ferment everything like, we see.
It's like everything in science.
Right.
Sorry.
If you saw those frozen grapes, you'd be like, oh, that sucks. Those just, you know, went to waste. But
right.
No, they actually make something out of it. It's pretty cool.
And now it becomes more difficult. Because it's now you're trying to do it, so you're trying to make that perfect condition. But with weather, it's not like regular grapes where every year you're going to have the same weather and the climate that you have anywhere, right? So with winter, you never know if it's going to drop to that perfect freezing temperature, where it's going to freeze real fast and let you go out there and pick it, but not freeze too much. So it's so risky, which is going to bring up your costs and make them more rare, which is probably why we only have one or two to choose from, at least in the States. It might be different in other countries. I don't know. So we've got the Rieslings are really the German ones, and the blend with the Gewurztraminer. In Canada, you'll find the Vidal grapes. I think that's what Dave has, or one of those style grapes. The Cabernet Franc, of course. Newer varieties, they're being tried, like the Gewurztraminer, Chenin Blanc, Chardonnay, Syval Blanc, Kerner, Pinot Blanc, ooh, Ehrenfelser, and some other reds like Merlot, Pinot Noir, Cabernet Sauvignon, and other ones that'll make a pink kind of wine like Doug has. And I guess, realistically, for those type of grapes to really make an ice wine, you have to hit the right conditions, and it has to be something that they grow there. If Cabernet, like certain grapes just don't grow in certain climates. It just doesn't work. Like Argentina has a lot of specific types of grapes, Malbecs are good for like Argentinian wines. It, because it's so hot and it, there's a lot of sun because it's a thinner grape, so you're not going to see a Malbec ice wine because it's counter, you know, unless you can freeze those grapes specifically and do that ice box wine, you're not going to get that type of ice wine. That might kind of be kind of neat, though, to freeze them just to see what they would do. So there are varieties, but like we said, there's only going to be so many that you can get immediately at your disposal until, I don't know, it's still only 20 years old, so things could change in the ice wine. Maybe it will pick up. Maybe it'll be the next coolest thing. Maybe it'll be the next Pinot Noir or whatever people are drinking now that's supposed to be good. What's the latest good wine? Is it Pinot Noir or is it Merlot or still Cab? What do people order?
Kate.
Go ahead.
No, you.
I think Kate probably knows best.
No, I don't.
That's why I'm deferring.
I really don't know best, but I was going to say, I do think it's the Pinots, either Grigio or Noir, but I could be wrong.
Pinot Grigio is if you're an ice wine, wine? Yeah.
It's actually, if I have to drink white wine, I can drink Pinot Grigio.
And I think that's the Italian, or is that Pinot Grigio? There's two different grape varietals that sound very similar.
I couldn't tell you.
I'm not really.
Although I am going to the Boston Wine Expo this weekend.
Sweet. So am I. No, it's next weekend. Oh, wait. No, right. This weekend's over.
It's this coming. Yeah, next weekend.
So you too, huh? I'm going to go to the Gary Vaynerchuk keynote at 11 and then hit up the.
Which day? Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday.
Awesome. I'll probably see you there.
Because we're going. I'm bringing Jennifer, who doesn't drink wine, but she's going to learn. And
she's so good. She's so flexible.
Yeah.
Sounds like she tries all the stuff that you bring home and make her try.
Oh, I do. Yeah. And just to see, because here's the deal. For me, I really enjoy a bottle of red wine. I would enjoy it more if other people could enjoy it with me. Yep. Right?
Agreed.
So and that's why I went through a lot of wine when my sister-in-law was here, even though she drinks like it's water and doesn't really respect it for, like, she probably doesn't even get to the point where she can taste it. But like my mother-in-law drinks it. And she's still kind of new at it. Like she's the type of person, if I watch what she orders, that'll be the thing that's probably most popular. She'll order the brand names, she'll order the house wines and whatever blindly, whatever they have. And so I'll get her, like I showed her a Tempranillo. She tried that. She liked it. She didn't care for the Malbec. She thought it was a little rustic. She's more into the California fruity wines. And so for her birthday, we're going to bring her to the wine festival, or the wine tasting. So she'll be there at the expo too. And that's expensive.
Have you? I know. I couldn't believe it.
I bought three tickets and then three keynotes. So it's like it's like $85 per ticket and then $15 or $20 for the keynote for Gary V to watch him. So
yeah, just don't spit it out, man.
Right. What?
Don't spit out. Yeah, you know, it's funny. They want you to, but I don't want to spit it out.
Now, have you been to one before?
Yeah. I've been to this one a few years ago.
Oh, really?
At the Expo Center, yeah. Or at the World Trade Center.
Do they sell the wines there too? Like, will they sell you the wines, or is that against the law?
Yeah, they do. I think at the time, the last time I went was like 4 or 5 years ago. But at the time, I was just kind of writing down like a whole list of things that I liked, because I was trying to, at the time, I was a white wine drinker and I was trying to get into red wine. And now I can't look at white wine, but
that's,
I love
weird.
Red wine. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to, because I want to, I'm trying to get, for Jennifer, I'm just, if she just, you know, she's going to taste it. And she's at the point now, and hopefully I could change this. She doesn't think she knows anything. She's like, they all taste the same to me. But every time she tries one, she always says at least one thing that's dead on.
Right.
And it's like, oh, well, this one's dry, or this one's a little too much alcohol. And then you read some of the reviews, or you drink it yourself, and you're like, yep, it's kind of like the back end's a little hot. It's like just a little too much alcohol, a little unbalanced. And she knows, but she's not confident enough to say that she knows. She just thinks, well, that's obvious. But it's not necessarily. Unless you've done it. Like if you had one bottle of wine, you wouldn't necessarily know this one's hot, more fruity, or this one's got more alcohol, or this one's super sweet, if you don't know what you're looking for.
Try to talk her into doing our box wine episode.
Just suck them down. I think she could do. I think she could do a box wine. I don't think that would be,
because
anybody could drink box wine.
Well, I mean, why is everyone such box wine haters? It's the same stuff as you get in a bottle, except it stays fresher.
It's not really the same stuff.
I'm with Kate on that 100%, and thank with you, the Doug. Same inflection.
that mad southern accent that you have to slap down because you're pissed.
Whatever it was, well done.
Thank
what
you.
Are you talking about, Doug? You've had enough wine to know they're not the same thing. Don't be a hater on good wine. If you have a wine from
honestly believe that when I drink wine right out the box, it tastes the same as when I drink wine right out the bottle.
I don't drink them out of the box.
Is it just a matter of you can't get good wines in a box?
Oh, no. I'm still lost on the whole drinking right out of the bottle. No,
or the box.
Yeah.
No, do you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not necessarily the packaging. It's more that you don't see very many brands in boxes these days, right?
No.
I think, okay, whatever.
Obviously,
if you go into a 5-star restaurant, you order a really nice bottle of wine, it's not going to be like something you could get in a box wine off the shelf. But if you have like two of the same brand and one's box and one's bottle, it's I don't know.
You mean just the medium of transport?
Yeah.
Oh no, I mean, I'm not. No, it's not that. Like, no.
It's
that's
like
fine.
Plastic
yeah.
cap on a wine bottle. Obviously, you don't want to see a plastic cap.
Oh no,
wine.
No, I don't care about that. No, I don't care about the fact that it comes in a box. I mean, it just happens to be that stuff that comes in a box is like the $5 bottle of wine, right? If you could tell me, well, I think. To me, what I heard was a $5 bottle of wine tastes the same as a $30 bottle of wine.
No. Definitely no.
That's where I was like, what? No. Kate, you know better than that. No, if you get the same thing, the one in the bladder is probably better specifically, but there's a lot of reasons why they might not do that. Like, just it takes more shelf space. You're not going to have as much variety because if you think about all the wines on the shelf, how are you going to fit all the box wines there?
Right.
So there's a lot of other reasons they might not do it that way. That and wine is snobby.
Yeah, it's definitely got a stigma. You want to open, you want to pop the cork out of a glass bottle. And I totally see that. If I had, you know, company for dinner, I would not serve box wine. I just, you know.
That'd be awesome. Just drop it right down the dining room table.
The centerpiece of the table.
You just kind of just hanging off the edge and be like, hey, just hang over the spigot like Doug does.
Actually, you just stick some long straws into it and spread them around the table.
Like a scorpion bowl. Oh, yeah, just pop them right in the bladder.
That
tip it on its
awesome.
Side.
Oh, my God. I'm going to invite you guys over for dinner one night, and that is what we're having.
Just a bladder wine. Just
Don't kid yourselves.
That'd be awesome. Just pop it in the bladder and just let
glass
the...
Glass is optional. But anyway.
Let the juice flow.
It's like a mind hookah.
Yeah. You'd be like, I don't know. Yeah. Hey, you know what? I think we're done. Wait.
I think we're done.
Anybody have any last parting comments? What do you think? Would you drink ice wine again?
Yes.
If I was paying for it, fuck no.
I would at a restaurant or something as an alternative to like a Grand Marnier or something like that, like an after dinner drink. And I think I'd need to try it with something like cheese. I think that would help a lot. But in general, a little too sweet for me.
So, Doug, you not...
It smells like fucking raisins, too.
Yeah, that's
It smells like golden raisins to me.
Yeah,
well,
golden raisins
become raisins. I mean,
they do.
Yeah, I mean it does make sense, but at the same time, it's not like I stick my nose in Cabernet and I'm like,
right. I do that.
Damn, fucking sun-made raisins.
You don't do that,
but they pick them earlier,
right?
Yeah, I know. It's like the California raisins, except they're like swimming in shit.
Right.
And fucking pressed. And so, they're like all fucking bullshit about it. They're like, oh my God, I'm so flat. I'm liquefied.
Right.
And fermented.
So, Doug, you don't consider...
Fuckers.
Sorry. I burped there.
Those grapes are pissed.
So, Doug, you don't really... You wouldn't buy... So, do you think the $50 price tag was too much for what you got?
Jesus Christ. Yes, yeah, slightly. I just spilled it myself. Fuck.
That's expensive to spill that.
No, it's my beer. I'm finished with the wine.
Did you finish the bottle, Doug?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah, did everybody else?
About half mine left.
I have about half because...
Half of your 180 whatever?
I know, that's really sad. I'm telling
you, it's just, it's too sweet for me. I can't drink it.
Did you have a backup?
Well, yeah, I'm drinking beer with it.
So what's your backup?
Beer.
Beamish.
Oh, all right.
It's like, I don't know what that means, because I don't.
It's a stout.
It's
like Guinness.
You're drinking Guinness. Beamish. Nice wine, nice.
B-E-E-M-I-S-H.
Okay, Beamish. Doesn't help knowing how to spell something I've never heard. I think the price is high, but I did not finish mine. Mine is only, I probably still have a good 40% left, but that is done purposely because I wanted some for tomorrow night. And I've had a couple bottles, so I know to pace myself or it would be gone. And since my wife likes it, I take the opportunity to save a little so that I can keep her involved with the wine. Maybe my hopes is it's like a gateway wine to like something else. I don't know, like maybe
then
Riesling.
She get into the heroin.
Well, the marijuana. No, man. Like I'd like to get her into a Riesling or a Gewurztraminer, and then work her towards like a fruitier California wine. I gotta figure out the key to get her in there, because it's like it takes a while to get the wine thing going, and you really want to have to try, and she doesn't try, so that's a problem.
Sounds like she does though. When you're at the expo next weekend, try to get her to drink some Pinot Noir. I think she'd like that.
Oh, she's had peanut. She's had everything. It just, she doesn't, in a certain one she'll like, a certain one she's like, nah, I don't really like that.
Right, she has to find a brand she likes. I mean, it differs.
It's, you got to find the brand, maybe a year, and you know, just buy a couple bottles of it. Just build it up. Because once you get the flavor profiles and you understand it, the next one won't be as hard because you'll be used to it. But really right now, I just got her sipping it. It's just like, oh, I'll have a couple sips. And I'll leave it out for a couple days to let it decant. I just keep the compressor thing on the top just so it slowly decants. And every day I have her try it and see if she could tell the difference between the tannic flavors kind of dissipating a little. And so I'm working it. It just takes a little while.
Roofies,
no. So hopefully if you're listening.
Does that smell like chloroform?
Everything is so nutty tasting.
Almonds. So anyway, let's wrap this up. So hopefully everybody, if you're listening and you've never heard of ice wine, you've heard of it, you understand what it is. If you see it in the store, you know, give it a try. Even if it's $24, if you can smack down $24, try it. Listen to the episode again. See if you relate to what we're saying. And if you like dessert drinks, definitely this is a no-brainer.
And by relating, you like break open a bottle of this shit and you're like, oh, it tastes like fucking dried apricots. Good luck with that.
It smells like raisins.
Yeah. And Cancun. In case of Dave and Cancun in
it
Hawaii.
It definitely does not taste like coconut.
No, not like coconut. Like,
oh, and
tropics.
I'm still not getting the papaya and mango out of mine. But
well, you need to go. You know what it is? You don't test your palate. You got to go get some papaya and some mango. Take a bite, chew on it, and then take a sip and see if you can find it.
See, that's an awful lot of work. I just like things to taste like what they taste like, you know?
You don't know. You know what? I think we're going to wrap this up that way that we caused Luke some pain this episode, I think.
Okay.
Thanks, Luke. We appreciate your assistance.
Your patience. Anyway, I think we covered everything. You need to go out and try some ice wine. This is Derek for Dave, Doug, Kate, and our podcast producer, Luke Lydahl. Heaven forbid. You've just been buzzed by Everyday Drinkers. You can find us at everydaydrinkers.com. Check out my cool cocktail videos at everydaydrinkers.tv. Bam. We're out, people. That's a wrap. Wasn't that cool?
So who actually has to get up for work?
I do.
I don't.
You do?
I do, don't I?
No, you don't. It's a holiday.
Actually, you probably do.
No, I probably don't. F5 doesn't get any holidays off.
Right.
The stock market's closed.
This message is for Luke. I'm recording now because I don't want to miss any cool shit pre-show.
Yeah.
Isn't that where Mordor is?
You better believe it is.
What happened is the war dug too deep and they wound up discovering the ice wine.
Very special place, New Zealand.
You know, you can't just walk into Mordor.
Right.
You can't, no.
By the way, Cabernet Franc, Doug, is a red grape, so that makes sense. The right. You know what it is? Here's the deal. The Balrog, all he was doing, he was just pissed off because he was protecting his fucking ice wine. He was like, hey, stay away from that. That's my shit. Actually, that stuff's expensive.
Little known fact, the Balrog is actually named Smoky Nuts.
Oh, that is definitely little known. No idea that was true. Not sure. He's been on Wiki again.
I didn't know we were going to be breaking out the outtakes this early on. This is great.
Crack. We start right into them.
All
right.
We're all going to go cornholio from all the sugar in this stuff. So.
Oh, Murlocs again. I was trying to do the baby Murloc thing for my friend Eddie, who just picked up WoW again. I'm like, oh, wait until you get to Northrend. There's these baby Murlocs. I tried to do it, but it wasn't. Dave, you can probably do it.
Wait, did I do it last time?
I don't know. No, we did. Didn't we find a WAV file or something that played it?
I thought Dave could do it.
Dave could probably do it. So. I think
maybe
Dave
later.
Is.
Maybe after a couple more.
Oh, all right, yeah, maybe. Classes.
Yeah, that's what it is. Since all the areas don't get that frost.
Actually, I have a. Never mind.
Huh?
I had a question and then I decided to forego my Dave tangent type question.
Speaking of New Zealand, is it really an island?
A good tangent. Come on.
I know. What's this linear thing? Come on.
Linear.
Bring us there, Doug. Come on.
Well, I was going to, you know, it's so cold in Canada. How come there are so many strippers up there?
They have heat. They don't all go outside to strip, dude.
Yeah,
I understand. But at the same time, I mean, is it just too hot inside?
It's hot inside, let me tell you. Wait.
Okay.
Sorry. Never mind.
Anyway, yeah. that was my Canadian question.
There is a good. Well, if we have any
just
Canadians,
because I knew that we had not offended our Canadian contingent as of yet. So
I'm going to say because their drinking age is less, so that makes it a good place for us to go. And if we go there, strippers follow. Do you follow me? Does that make sense?
Right,
strippers follow you wherever you go.
Right. Well, not me. Like the royal. Me, like, like me, the people of, we the people. I don't know. So, a few key areas we've already covered that.
Do you know how much, like, on average, your dexterity percentages drops?
No.
With gloves on?
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, if you had, like, a dexterity of 18, it would, like, drop to, like, a 15.
No, you know what happens, though, dude? Check this out. I got these gloves. The tops flip up, and you can see my fingers.
The reason that I love you guys is because I just dropped that last sentence, and
nobody
flinched.
Noticed. No,
that was great.
We learned
the things that we concluded in the last podcast. You weren't here, but we kind of spoke for you. Is that we're all assholes?
Right. It's just we all pick our time to be one, and that was just the time to roll. I mean, sometimes you just gotta roll with it.
Right.
Right. What?
My time to be an asshole is pretty much when I'm awake.
Right, right. Well, not when you're not talking.
What are you doing? I don't think I'm an asshole.
Just to each other, really.
Yeah.
All right, fuck off.
In a metaphorical sense.
Did I ask you? No, seriously, shut the fuck up.
Right, exactly.
So, weren't you reading something?
Yeah, I was trying to.
I like that about you.
But your cake hole opened up. I was in the middle of reading. Hold on, ready? Here we go. These grapes.
Why don't you just tell me to shut my whore hole?
Because you already you ruined it when you stuttered.
And shut your whore mouth.
Speaking of whore mouth,
I've never heard someone call it a whore hole. But
No. Not that hole. I mean, there's no
well, in the clubs that Doug tends to hang out in.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna need more wine.
Oh my god.
All right, poor Derek.
I'm
you
poor.
Can go, Derek.
I'm poor.
You got the floor.
Wine. I got the
is
floor.
Is the hole the one in between the stalls? Or,
yeah. No, that's the glory hole.
Okay, so we've established that the glory hole is the hole in between the stalls, and the whore hole is Doug sitting behind it. Just wanted to get the terminology straight.
But you need to go edit Wiki. Get that in there.
Oh, shit. Poor hole.
Top entry. Wiki search query.
And it would have that disclaimer at the top. This entry is too short.
Yeah.
It needs to be expanded upon because all it says is Doug's mouth.
Citations needed must be cleaned up to look more like other standard Wikipedia entries.
Doug's mouth.
Oh, you know, if you add that right now, it'll be gone in a minute.
Actually, there is a entry for whorehole on Urban Dictionary, of course.
Oh, really? That's because that's not monitored.
Doesn't say anything about Doug, though.
No, it can.
Edit that. Oh, yeah.
You know? Beautiful. Speaking of whorehole.
my God.
Well, anyway, like I was saying, okay. I'm trying to figure out how I could possibly roll this back because that was wild.
Jesus.
Well, actually, I guess we'll just let our editor do that. We can still do it. We'll just, you know what we'll do? We do it later and then we can, like, oh my God, whorehole.org. I don't even want to know.
I know. I saw that too. It's like blog.whorehole.org.
I'll click on that after.
Title picture is worth the price of admission, though.
Oh, really? Now you got me having to click on it.
Enter Cheryl's whorehole.
What?
You have to click on it to get in. Oh my God.
What the hell?
Oh, Facebook, bitch.
Oh, no. Don't. If you're listening and this somehow gets in
here's
there,
the thing.
You want this out of there.
I think I'm the only person that did not click on it. So.
Oh, that was definitely not cool. Carnage. Carnage. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So after New Year's, well, how do I get back? That was just that was just my eyes. Oh, yeah. Here we go.
You do realize that my whole purpose in life is trying to read through one of these is to just, you know, get you as far off on a tangent as possible.
I can't see. All right. Anyway.
I'm trying to shy spine.
Oh, ich liebe die Scheißwein.
Oh. We should all talk like that for the rest of the podcast. Yeah.
but we don't all have German wine. I think it's just me.
You're the only one that has a German wine.
No, what's right? Kate have? Kate has Salax.
I have New Zealand, for the love of God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mate.
The coolest
what are they saying?
Place on the planet.
Right, because Lord of the Rings, I remember that we had that garden.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great country.
Right. It's Mordor. Because you can't walk into it.
You can't.
Hey, don't be talking down on Zinfandel.
No, not Zinfandel. Zinfandel. Oh. I haven't had Zinfandel. I got to find that someplace in my local freezer. But
hey, don't be bussing on some Zinfandel.
Yo, what's up?
Doug's a little late to the party, but...
He's pouring a little out for his homies.
No. I was letting y'all, you know, bust on what you will, but, you know, fuck off. Don't be bussing on no Zinfandel. Fuck off. Jesus.
It's exactly.
Like y'all just got to the party or some shit.
Bitches. Yeah. I totally agree.
Because, you know, I just got to the party too, so... And we showed up together.
So what I was going to say is...
No, I totally was, and I was so disappointed that I couldn't get
one. Do you guys want to know what I'm eating right now with my my ice wine?
Definitely.
If you say Gruyere, I'm going to kill you.
If I say what?
Never mind.
Okay, I'm eating Cheetos.
And do they pair well?
All right, Kate,
Cheetos?
Here's the deal.
Okay, hold on a minute. Cheetos pair well with everything.
Okay, you need to get a picture of you holding up a very elegant glass of ice wine with your fingers and your lips stained with Cheeto powder.
And put it on Facebook.
Okay, I'll work on that.
That all would right. be classic.
Cheetos are classic. Cheetos pair with everything. You guys don't remember, but
what do you mean
some.
Remember? I had Cheetos today. I have kids. I'm good.
There you go.
They're all about the Cheetos right now. They buy these make it sound like they go out and go
they
shopping.
When they do the grocery shopping.
Right. Well, no, when my daughter goes with me, she's like, I want these. And she gets like those combo bags of just all the different types of Cheez-Its and Doritos and Cool Ranch Doritos and regular chips and Ruffles.
Nice.
And so they go through, they hunt out all the Cheez-Its and all, I mean, all the Cheetos and stuff too. And they'll like just take all the, like the good stuff and then leave me with like the bad stuff.
Cheetos are Funyuns. Awesome.
Yeah.
Funyuns.
Oh, I love Funyuns. Dude, Bugle. Get me some Funyuns.
No. They're leaving them with the fucking Sun Chips and like the yeah. Lay's Baked.
Baked.
I'll kill but for Funyuns. I'm going to kill for
Lester when that came out and there were all the warnings for like, you know, it caused oily anal discharge.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, I don't think I want that.
Yep, you might pee out your butt, but it tastes good going down.
Oh. Yeah.
It's not like you're drinking
energetic.
Red Bull.
Are you ripping me?
For sure.
Hey. Goddamn it. I need me to keep it on back. Give me my goddamn eye drink.
No. Oh, that was good. Who was that?
What? No, was, yeah, show me.
Yeah, sorry about
show
that.
Me can do Carmen. Well
that's,
done.
That's all
that
I got.
Good Carmen.
That's my only voice. I'm sorry. What is going on? Why is things changing in the text? I don't want to know. Because the temperatures come later on in the season, many times the grapes are ripe and waiting to be picked while the vineyards wait. What happened?
Nothing. Keep going.
All right. I love cock. Right. What do you think? I'm going to accidentally read that?
Sometimes you get in a groove, you know?
It's all right. Well, I had to read it now because, you know.
I've been crying since I saw that.
No exclamation or anything, just a simple statement. With yeah.
Just reading it right there.
It would have been funny if it was. Hold on.
Hold on, he has to compose himself.
Whoever did that, you should have at least put it in the middle of a paragraph.
Right.
I just thought of it and he was getting yeah. to, so it was like, yeah, I was throwing in.
Oh, you have Doug, right. What do you got?
I can hear Doug typing away.
And you spelled cock wrong, Doug.
Yeah.
he's trying to be elite.
I know.
I do that on purpose.
Ha ha, disregard. I suck.
We at Everyday Drinkers bring you a professional type of podcast.
Actually, my mouth is really fucking hurting from just smiling.
Oh, God. Anyway.
But anyway. Well. All right.
I am actually going to be listening to this podcast because at this point it has made no sense.
No.
There is no cohesiveness of anything in this podcast. It's great. It's beautiful. I love you guys.
The tangent gone wild. Fuck. Oh my God, that's awesome. Francia. That's a nice box line. I think Doug just got the update. I feel bad for Luke to have to put this all together.
Oh, this is fucking hilarious. Oh, my fucking Lord, this is funny. Disregard. She sucks Franzia.
Yes. I'm not going to use that picture in the podcast, though. Here, what the hell's going on? Anyway.
Oh, I get it. That's where, you know, the tap is.
Spout. Oh, my God.
You got the spout.
You're just getting
what
it.
Did you have to Google to find that picture? That's what I want to know.
Actually, I just Googled box wine, and that came up.
Okay, I'm going to try that.
That's a good ranking
that's
picture.
Awesome. You taste like my mother's balls or something.
Yeah. No, your shit. Tastes like my mother's balls.
Kugeln?
Oh.
Kugeln?
Yeah.
I think
Kugeln is...
I recall. It actually
your
it says, sir.
Your shit tastes like my mother's balls.
No, it says, this shit tastes like my mother's balls.
Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jesus. Yeah, you're right. That's good. This,
yeah.
Jesus.
Sir, this shit tastes like my mother's balls.
Yeah. Because it would be...
And that's a standard greeting in Germany, right?
Hey, man, like this shit tastes like... Yep. Monkey spunk.
I like it to taste like that, because that's how I roll. All right. All right. Anyway.
Milkshaken.
He's thinking, you know, milkshaken. That's not a word.
What?
Milkshaken. You spelled milk right. I don't know about shaken.
Milkshaken.
Something tells me they keep the translation for English on that word.
I drink your milkshake.
I drink it open. What? That doesn't make any sense.
It's supposed to be.
Doug doesn't need to make sense.
I drink your milkshake. I drink it up.
I drink it up. Oh, okay, okay. I can see that. Okay. not sure. I don't think that...
Imagine that you have a milkshake over here. And my straw goes from your milkshake all the way across the room.
I drink it up.
Over here. I drink your milkshake. I drink it up.
I think
Doug
it would
has
be...
to talk like this from now on when we do podcasts.
I think it should have been Uber instead of Oben. Oben is up, but it's like...
Uber is best, isn't it?
No.
Like superlative.
No, it's over. Like,
as a matter of fact, I think...
Over, okay, that makes sense.
Kate's right in this respect. Uber is better.
Unter below, Uber above. Oben, that's what it is. Oben, I think, is above. Uber is... it could be also above or over or super or better, I guess.
Yeah, it's
is that
super,
Doug
it's
Day
superlative.
Lewis that we're hearing, or
is it what
Doug Day Lewis?
Yes,
I think it is.
Wow,
God, yeah, honestly though, I fucking love that movie. Great fucking movie.
Which one?
There Would Be Blood.
Oh my God, I was just thinking about that the other day. That is so weird.
You should
I don't
totally
even know what just
haven't.
Reminded me about it. What?
Doug did.
No, only because... No. Well, whatever. I was just talking to someone about this yesterday, and I was like, did that ever come onto DVD? Because we never saw that in the theaters. So I don't know. But anyway.
I don't know what you guys are talking about, but you guys do. Yes. So I know it's
blood.
Real.
It is
on DVD now. It is okay. out of the movie theater. But when I initially saw it, it was in the movie theater.
It's an excellent movie. Dark movie, but it's very good.
It's an excellent fucking movie. And yeah, it's, you know, Daniel Day motherfucking Lewis. Yeah, you can't go wrong.
You know it's going to be a good movie because he bit his teeth. He clenched when he said that. It's an awesome fucking movie.
Yeah, he was getting very impassioned.
Passionate about this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, he might have actually dropped a stool in his pants. he was just like totally emotional. It's like,
no, but actually,
it's like
that,
passion
that
of Christ.
Me drop stool in my pants.
You know what'll do it? I just saw I Am Legend last night. Never see that movie? Will Smith.
Zombies?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, that movie was awesome with the dog, and he had to kill the dog.
Yeah.
Oh, I cried like a child.
The first time something jumped out. Oh my God. Like,
did you scream?
I saw it myself. No, but I almost did. It was like you know what didn't help?
Eat a little bit.
I was kind of looking down. I was looking at something, maybe on my computer for a second. And,
you're watching on TV? I saw it at the IMAX theater.
No,
awesome.
We were watching on our, we were watching on Netflix. We had a Netflix thingy with DVD. And, you jumped out, and it didn't help that the surround sound and everything kind of went burnt all at once. And then my wife, grabbed my shoulder because she freaked her out. So not only did I get the audible experience, but then something grabs you and you're like, oh my God, what the hell is going on? you know what? It doesn't help when you're scaring me on top of hearing the noises when I'm not paying attention.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God, Donkey Punch.
totally
yeah,
unrelated.
It's just like that.
That's some funny cosplay Donkey Punch reaction. Not ice wine. Anyway.